Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome back to Blue Collar BS, the podcast that gets into the grit, the grind, and the genius of the blue collar world. Today's episode isn't just a conversation, it's an event you can't afford to miss.
That's right, Mr. Doyle. Today we're breaking the mold with James Hatfield, a man who's part tech visionary and blue-collar innovator. And oh, by the way, he's a descendant of those Hatfields, the ones from America's most infamous feud. But this isn't about looking back, it's about looking forward.
James is the chief revenue officer at LiveSitch. A self-proclaimed high-tech redneck, he's blending cutting-edge technology with down-to-earth values to change the game for blue-collar industries everywhere. If you think tech and trades don't mix, James is here to prove you dead-ass wrong.
So whether you're a small business owner, a worker in the trenches, or just someone who wants to see how old-school work ethic meets new-school innovation, this episode is for you. Do not go anywhere, because the wisdom James is about to drop will have you rethinking what's possible in your blue-collar home service world.
So grab your coffee, your energy drink, or whatever keeps you going, because this is the Blue Collar BS Podcast, and it's time to get to work. Let's roll. Welcome back, everyone, to this episode of Blue Collar BS, here with my co-host, Brad the Man Herta. How you doing today, Brad the Man?
You are an ass. I'll just go with that. I will go with that. You've had too many energy drinks this morning.
Too many. Yeah. The total of zero today. Zero. Perfect.
So this is all natural. This is great.
This is all natural.
We're going to turn
number one.
You are number one. So thank you for that warm introduction, Mr. Doyle. I appreciate it.
You know, I figured let's just do something a little different today. You know, it's kind of a gloomy day here, so let's kind of liven things up.
All right. And you did. Thank you. It was not part of the rehearsal process.
It was not at all. So, all right. So Brad, who do we have on the show today?
This show is not just a show. This show is an event. We have an opportunity to speak to one of the individuals of the family members of the longest running feud in U.S. history here. And we have Mr. James Hatfield, who is part of that Hatfield-McCoy legacy battle.
Wow.
James, so his bio here, chief revenue officer at LiveSwitch, instrumental in driving company success, blah, 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 blah. But what I found out in my introduction previously is he's one cool dude, and all this other stuff that he does is just stuff for passion and driving energy to create a blue collar world that is suitable for all generations. So Mr. James Hatfield, welcome to the show.
Brad, Steve, thank you for having me today. And yes, my great great uncle is Devilance Hatfield. If you ever watch the History Channel with Kevin Costner, he's playing one of our family members. At least they got a good looking guy to do it. Usually they just don't bring the good looking guys out. You know, they just bring the Joes, you know? And that's more accurate, actually. We're not very good looking.
Oh, that's
hey, you got a face for a podcast. That's good. It's perfect.
My mom says I look good.
It worked out well for us. It's all good.
Hey, James, before we get too much into the show, I always forget to ask this question sometimes. Which generation do you identify fit in with?
Well, I don't know if I identify with anything because I'm out of straight out of the mountains, but I'll take millennials because that's the badge they give me. You know, but somebody, honestly, you know, the age of when the Atari came out, you know, like, hey, it was a big deal, man.
It was.
Yeah,
it was. Had a couple of them.
Nintendo, that was like, wow, what is this? When the internet came, what is this voodoo magic?
Right. So the one thing that you made in our initial introduction, James, that just like, I believe you called yourself the redneck tech.
High tech redneck, man.
High tech redneck. That's what it was.
That's it.
Okay. How did you get started down your technology path and, you know, get to LiveSwitch?
Yeah, well, I certainly wasn't born into it. I was born into blue collar. You know, my grandfather never graduated high school because his dad died and ended up working at a tire shop. And then my dad built his own home. His dad died early. I don't really like that theme. Like, I've got a bunch of kids. They probably want their dad to stick around. But the theme of dads dying young and leaving their sons to, you know, work hard. And that's, you know, where I came from. I mean, my grandfather wanted me to paint lines on the highway. That was his big dream for me. Like, if you paint lines on the highway, you have made it, my man. And I'm like, all right, grandpa, that's what I'm going to do, you know? And I was like, well, maybe I'll try to go to college because I like college football. You know, I went to University of Washington, Seattle, and then NC State. And we had some good years, man. Phillip Rivers years when I was there. Oh, my goodness. Okay. We never
all right.
Sense. But I ended up getting into, I think I mentioned it, you know, the age of Atari, the Nintendo came out, the millennials, right? I got interested in technology. Like, I just... It's like, wow, this internet thing is crazy. You remember when it made all the beep, boop, and you're like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, what is this magic? You know,
you were probably about 8 at the time when that happened, but that's
oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I loved every second of it. You know, watching the internet come in like, you know, like a fax machine. Remember? That's what it is.
I do.
You.
It's magic.
Brad might not, you know, he's getting that age where... He may not remember those types of things anymore. That's wow. All good.
Wow.
Who's my co-host? James? What's his name? James.
All I know is ignorance James is bliss. Head, the more what? I forget, the better.
Wow.
Well, that's a wrap. It's been fun.
Oh, man. So tell us a little bit more about what's kind of going on at LiveSwitch for you.
Yeah, so, well, I guess let me rewind the clock because this is how we got into it, is myself and one of my partners, he ran a landscaping company. I ran a painting and power washing company. I mean, that's what we did. We're both kind of blue collar boys. And then we ended up building a financial technology company somehow. Like, I like numbers a lot. I like numbers a whole lot. And we ended up taking a very small incubator company to Inc. 500 Beyond, and it's a multi-billion dollar company. Believe it or not, we actually built something. And then we got into philanthropy, and we decided, hey, we're not done yet. So we purchased this company 4 years ago. And of course, if you're going to give a technology company, in this case, a live video company, if you're going to give that to some blue-collar fellas, we're going to make blue-collar tools. That's just what we did.
Right.
And I can take it down the journey. But yeah, I love it. I mean, I remember going door to door, knocking on doors, getting jobs for my guys to work for my painting company back in the day. I mean, that's how you did it. Or somebody got the phone book out and called you in the yellow pages. People still use this crazy thing called a telephone. And
right.
Drive out in the truck and bid the job and send the guys out there and do the job. And so LiveSwitch has a way to stop hopping in the truck, you know, save a tank of gas. And you know, as much as we like to think our award-winning personality closes all the deals, I'm like, no, it doesn't. You know, no, it doesn't. You're not Oprah. You know what I mean? Like, you're not winning them with your award-winning personality. I mean, come on, man. That's not it. Like, the average homeowner, which is all of us, I think, you know, if we got a leak in the faucet or if I need daggone, you know, gutters fixed or whatever needs to happen, I just want to know, how much is it going to be? When can you do it? And how fast can you get here? Right?
Pretty much sums it up.
You have an award-winning personality. No. Then I need to shake your hand.
Hey, yep. Just so you know, James, you are on an award-winning podcast right now. Just so you know, we did win the 2024 Small Business Owner Communities Podcast of the Year. So you are part of award-winning crew. Just so you know, not our personalities, the show. Just so you
the show.
So that, and you actually earned it. Unlike today, everybody gets a trophy. But back then, when we were in sports, you didn't get a trophy unless you won the dang thing.
That's right.
So I don't know. Hopefully it's because you won the dang thing and not because.
Yes. Yes. At least four people voted yes. It was a panel of six, man. Apparently. So four, we got past the.
Oh, man.
I don't even know how to transition from that. But I'm telling you, award-winning personality is not needed. Now, you need to be a nice person, but I'm sure we've all booked work from someone we didn't really like that much, but they did a great job.
Correct.
You know, and it was worth the money. We didn't hang out and go on three dates afterward either. They just showed up, did the work, and left. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, you know. But what we're seeing, you know, remember the Nextel walkie-talkies, guys? Did you guys have
them? Oh, yeah.
That was like the thing. You have made it if you had that boop, boop, or you're in the restaurant, you know, in the diner in the morning, and you're getting you got the thing on the dinner, on the dining table.
Yeah.
That was the thing. Well, I I believe this thing is the Nextel walkie-talkie. I remember, you know, just like coming up with this stuff. Okay, you can't make this stuff up. So I run product for our company. I did for a little while, and now I'm helping out with the revenue side. But we got the chance to reinvent the 911 telephone call with the chief of police in Washington, D.C. That's where this thing came from.
Nice. And,
you know, the worst part of your phone, it's ironic, isn't it, is the phone. Like, everything else is great, but the phone's like, oh, it dropped. Can you hear me now? Well, it's on telephony. It's like basically a fax machine. It's terrible. You know, it doesn't work that great. And so in the future, and I hope you guys never have to experience it, you'll get a text message and you'll tap it and you'll just point your smartphone at the situation. And that video feed from your phone will go right to the police car, fire truck, or emergency medical. So they can see what they're driving into. It's called situational awareness. All right. Huh. And so we're still, government takes forever. I know, shocker. Right.
But no, we got the Dodge thing going on now. It'll go much faster.
We got the Dodge thing. Maybe wow. We'll go a little faster.
We're going to make this political show. All right. I'm in.
Hey, we just lost all the listeners. Where'd they go?
I'm in. I think we might get a pickup now.
It's going to go faster, James. We got Dodge now.
It's all right. But, you know, I was like, who else could use this thing? Because, you know, just things take forever unless, you know, we get the speed demon coming. So, of course, I start knocking on doors and I meet this guy who takes care of the Nashville, Tennessee Titans, the NFL football team.
Yep.
This guy is 20 years in the FBI and I'm showing him our emergency response system. And he's like, hey, man, this all well and good. I like it a lot. But he's like, I got the stupidest question. I'm like, what? He's like, can I just text my guy across the arena when the trash cans fall over and he can show me so I don't have to hop in my golf cart, because that would help me out a lot. And that was the aha. I was like, oh, absolutely. You can do that. That reminded me of the next walkie-talkie that I was talking about.
Yep.
That's when we started approaching home services. Like, you got to check this out. So I get in front of this guy, a moving company. He's a serious guy. He's you know, he's with it. He's running these conferences and I'm showing him everything. And he runs this moving company. He's like, you have no idea what you got. I'm like, what do you mean you have no idea? He's like, you know how we're going to use this? He's like, I'm going to use this where I can text my prospect and they can just walk me around the house and show me what my team needs to move. And I'll give him a quote. And he was right. He was right. We have hundreds of movers all over the world now using this every single day. And it's blown me away. But it's like one of those things you kind of stumble into. You're like, oh, I kind of knew this would help. And then, you know, if you listen well enough, someone else gives you the answer to the test. I mean, I always had to get the answer to the test. You know, I don't know, Brad or Steve, if you guys were looking at other people's desks when you were growing up or just putting C as the answer and everything.
Usually it was, well, I had to fill in the circles, right? So you'd kind of go back and forth and try to follow the pattern, see what's there and go, okay, I don't know these. Oh, hey, there's like four D's in a row. No, it can't be five. So I got to.
Yep.
There's got to be an A or B here somewhere.
Yep.
That's it. I was always told the secret is if you don't know the answer, just circle C. That's your best guess. That's what it is.
Yep. Pretty much.
Yeah. The demo that you did with me, James, was I was blown away by its ease of use and its simplicity and the user interface. So how are you making it so that grandma, grandpa, who aren't technology savvy, who might be remote, who need the service or work, could be in a rural area. How are you making it so that that technology is easily transferable and usable, I guess? Because to me, that would seem like a barrier to entry potentially.
Oh, absolutely. It's a barrier to entry for anything, right? Like the reason the phone actually works so well is because it rang and you just pick it up. You're like, pick it up. Oh, okay. And that's about it. That's about us humans. That's about all we can do. Don't give me a second step. I'm going to forget. Oh, I got to hang it up now. That's okay. That's it. Mm-hmm. Right. So our whole goal was you got to make it so easy. It needs to be easy as a phone call or easier than a phone call. And wait till I talk about some of the other magic we're doing. Right. So we knew the computer science under the hood was incredibly hard. We're only one of like four companies that do this. And when my engineers speak, I know they're speaking English, but I don't understand a word coming out of their mouth. Like, I think that's English. I don't know. But it's incredibly hard to connect two people point to point anywhere on the globe. And that's what we do with no apps. Because no one, you know, it's not going to work. Hey, can you stop and download an app for the
I hate that.
That's what you're talking about, right? Yeah. We need another app, like we need another hole in the head, right? Like it doesn't need to happen. So we don't do apps. Like forget apps. It doesn't work. So if we teach people how to use our stuff in less than a couple minutes. If you can send a text, you can use our stuff. You literally just tap in the person's phone number and hit send. That's all you have to. That's what I do as the guy. If I'm running the painting company or the power washing company, I just put in your number and hit send. And then the person on the other end that gets a text, and all they have to do, Brad, remember it, you just tap the text and then you connect. That's it. There's no, that's it.
It was interesting. Very phenomenal. It was very, very interesting. I think our listeners need to be able to find out more about that for our home service folks. And even inside a large manufacturing facility, I could see that being something of value, right? Like you talked about the guy at Titan Stadium. It's like, okay, great. I got to figure this out. Well, show me the problem so I can deploy the right resources instead of somebody calls up and says, walks around, loses a half hour, go back and forth, get a cup of coffee, shoot the shit for 20 minutes, machine's down. What's really the problem so we can go solve it? That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the problem we're trying to solve is everybody knows how to use a phone and talk, but I need to see sometimes. Because, you know, they say a picture is worth 100 words or whatever it is. Well, a video is worth 10,000 words, right? To be able to see when you can't explain it. Like, especially in the emergency situation we're talking about, when you're compromised. Like, I'm in Asheville, North Carolina. We were doing river rescues a month ago down at the bottom of my hill. Five-minute walk, and we're pulling people out the river. Well, when you're compromised, I don't even know which way is up. So now you just hit the text and hold the camera, you know? The same thing happens in a work situation when you're just talking to one of your other coworkers. Can you just show me what's going on? Save me a trip in the truck. Save windshield time. We had a fella who hangs TVs. He has a TV hanging business and he does speakers and all that. And he was so pumped for two reasons. One, he's like, James, I got a 90-year-old to use it the other day. I was like, let's go.
Awesome. That is great.
They loved it. And they'll at the end, they'll say, why isn't everybody doing this? Because now in the age of Amazon, my son started basketball this week and he's afterwards, like people in the age of Amazon, like, why isn't everyone doing this? Like my son and I were starting basketball this week and my wife's like, can you take him to the mall to go shoe shopping? And I was like, I can't think of a worse thing I would want to do on my Saturday than go to this thing called the mall. There's no way I want to go to the mall.
Right?
How much are you going to pay me to go to the mall? So I was like, I felt like, okay, I probably got to do it. I got to be a good dad. But then I was like, hey, let's just go on the Amazon. I was like, give me your current shoe. I look inside the shoe. It says 6.5 in size. I was like, all right, he needs a 7 now. We just go on the Amazon. And I'm like, pick one. Boom. Oh,
man. You missed the 2-hour opportunity to spend time one-on-one, quality time, have those conversations, build rapport.
Well, you know, we didn't stay. We went in the driveway. We played basketball together.
There you go.
You know what's better than the mall? Playing basketball in the driveway with your boy.
That's right. Enough.
All right, at least you did something together, right? That's good. Many fair times enough. It doesn't happen.
No, we just fall asleep on the couch and take a nap.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. James, question for you from an adaption standpoint, which thinking of the different generations and your tech, which generation have you seen adapt the tech the quickest?
Definitely the younger generations, right? Because they grew up. I think when you're born now, they hand you a cell phone. I think so.
Pretty much.
The infant, they just give the infant
right next to the birth certificate, usually.
Exactly.
Unless you're my kids.
Right. And so what ends up happening is if I have an older generation who owns the company, and this has happened to me so many times, I can't even tell you, where they'll say, hey, James, we went from having to use your stuff whenever we had to. To now we're never driving out again. We only drive out whenever we have to because they get addicted to it. And he's like, my whole staff likes it. And it just saves them time in the car. Like my guy who's hanging the TVs was like, he gets 2 hours back every day with his daughter because of our stuff. And he went from doing 4 bids a day to 8 bids a day. I mean, if he was on the show, he's like, yeah, my top line, I can equate it right to when I started doing these, they're calling them virtual estimates. And that's just part of what we do, but it definitely is one of those things that adoption happens always with the young, you know, when it comes to tech. But then once the old guy, who's on Facebook all the time now? I think my kids' grandparents, you know, my parents are on Facebook more than I am now.
Yeah.
I never get on the thing. And they're addicted to it, you know?
Yeah.
My family was like, I don't want that cell phone thing to now my dad's got the latest thing. I remember trying to get him on a Gmail. I was like, there's you gotta go to Gmail.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, what is that? I was like, but what? Now he's amazing with it. It's one of those things that the harder it is to get in, it's the harder to get out. But once you get in, it's never coming out.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I got the 911 emergency tech call from my dad on earlier this week of I can't get my Chromebook to work. I'm like, oh, okay, what'd you do? I don't know. I'm in guest mode. I'm like, all right, I'll drive out there and I look and put in the password that we worked through and said, here's what it is. And he said, says it was changed 4 hours ago. Like, what did you change it to? I didn't change it. Okay. It tells me right here. It was changed 4 hours ago.
Yep.
So yes, he's not very tech savvy, but it's like, just care. If you care, you'll get through it, right? If you care to learn, you'll learn. Yep. Humans will adapt.
Yep. Well, because the majority of our customers have blue collars, and it's a good thing. It's a great thing. Some of them don't want to adopt new apps, tech, whatever. So mm-hmm. we knew that if we were going to have any fighting chance, this thing better be simple, not just for the user and the owner, but the prospect and the customer. And that's the name of our game. Everyone's like, well, when are you putting all this or that? We're not. Once I make this more complicated, and if I have my engineers over-engineer it, guess what's going to happen? People are going to stop using it because it's only cool for engineers. And the mm-hmm. engineer, I was like, engineers, my coders, I know you got soft hands. You know, you can type at 80, you got no calluses. But like, you got to go. I actually try to take my coders to the, and we send them to the business, the blue collar businesses. I'm like, sit down and spend a day
yep.
doing that. So you can actually awesome. See the people use That's, your stuff. Watch right. it.
You know? Ask the question. Ask what would make a better user interface? What would make it simpler? What would make it not so clunky or cumbersome?
Absolutely. And the nice thing is that my partner and I, we both ran blue collar businesses, so we know what we like. You know, so I think that's why we ended up where we're at. You know, we were just coming full circle back to being the high tech.
What got you out of paint and power washing into financial services?
I like numbers a lot. Like numbers just came easy to me. Like in high school, way back in the day, I was the little freshman in a senior math class. I would guess I was like academically gifted or whatever they call it. And I would just, math just came easy. Like I wouldn't have to study. I would never look at the book. And then when we took, you know, the standardized test, I get perfect scores.
This is why the McCoys hate you.
It's why the McCoys hate me. Because I can add 2 + 2. Yeah. So it was one of those things where, like, I guess just because I had that brain, I got into college, you know, and then I put myself through college working in a blue collar business while I was in college. And then this guy I met, he went from doing landscaping to he was really good with numbers too. And what he did is he created an expert system that changed plain language, changed income statement and balance sheet to plain language. So a blue collar guy could understand what the numbers mean. See, we're always trying to help mm-hmm. the blue collar guy because what they like yep. to do is they like to use confusing language with acronyms and big words. They sound smart. So they think we don't know what they're talking about. So they can charge us a lot of money. Does this sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Sounds like a law firm, right?
Like, yep.
We don't allow our team to use acronyms. We don't allow our team to use 5-syllable words. Like, no. And it's not a knock. It's actually, we have a book we make everyone read called Simple. It's actually a really thoughtful thing to be easy to understand, to be clear.
What was the book again? What was the book, James?
It's called Simple. I'm looking at it over here. Let me go grab it. I'll grab it.
Because we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. It's this book called Simple. All right. And the author is Alan, A-L-A-N, Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L. We require all of our developers to read this. We require the engineers who want to have acronyms and crazy words that I don't understand. And I'm like, you need to talk to me like I'm 5. Like, I need to understand it. So we're constantly in this battle. And because we believe that simplicity is thoughtful and simplicity sells and simplicity, people like to use stuff that's simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. That doesn't mean it makes. Yeah. So have you challenged them then to make it simple from the user perspective, even though it might be complicated for them?
Correct. I don't care how hard it is under the hood. That's what people are paying for. But that I don't need to know. when I hop in my car, I just want to start the car and it needs to work every time. I don't need to know how the engine works. I don't even know how the computer in there works. Now, I used to love rebuilding engines. I can't do it anymore because they put a computer on my engine.
But, right.
You know, now I just want the thing to start and I want to go get my hamburger and I want to come home. That's what I want to do. But there's a lot of engineering happening under the hood that right. my user could care less about. And nor do they need to care about that. I just want it to work every time. And people expect they give a lot of grace to technology. It makes us so angry. Because technology is all these engineers. I'm like, ugh. And oh, it doesn't work this time. Well, it needs to work every time. So
yep.
Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox.
No, it's all good. So
it is all good.
So if you could go back in time and you knew what you know now, what would you tell yourself back then when you got out of school to do differently or the same or more of?
Go paint the road like my grandpa wanted me to.
So grandpa was never happy with you. Is that that's what I'm
that's
hearing?
Right. That's right. He's like, what do you do messing around with all that technology? You know? I was like, grandpa, look at my big glasses. You know, come on. I don't know why I'm so different. I don't know why the girls don't like me. And I'd probably tell myself to buy some Apple stock.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh man.
That's funny.
How do people find you, James? How do people find LiveSwitch? How do they get their opportunity to experience greatness that you guys have created?
Yeah, liveswitch.com, LiveSwitch.com, liveswitch.com. And you will get me or one of my wonderful team, and we will let you touch the tech and you'll see how simple it is and how you can start using it straight away. I've got people that look at it, train the same day, use the same. Like, I literally have you can watch one of my videos, one of my landscapers being like, yep, I bought it in the morning, use it in the afternoon, save me a $200 trip out and back the same day. Yep, that's what it is.
So. I was massively impressed. And, you know, like I told you on our initial call, right, when I saw the bio, saw all the stuff, saw your assistant come in here, this would be great for this. Like, this will be challenging. But no, you are a down-to-earth tech guy for sure from a blue-collar. So awesome. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your story, at least part of it. We're going to have you back to share more of your story as this technology continues to ramp. Because I think there's going to be another 2.0 version of this that's going to be just awesome.
Thank you again for having me, guys.
Stephen Doyle, you got anything?
I'm good, man. This has been a great show.
All right. All right, James, thank you so much. And we will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Right. Have a great day. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.